The hour of recess has expired. The Senate is in session. Senator from Boone County.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of reports of standing committees, and I'd ask that you recognize me for a report.
Hearing no objection, the order of business will be reports of standing committees. Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics has a report.
Please send your report forward. Madam Secretary, please read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics, to which was referred Senate Substitute Number 2 for Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 262, begs leave to report that it has examined the same and finds that the bill has been truly perfected and that the printed copies furnished the senators are correct. Also, Mr. President, your Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics, to which was referred Senate Bill Number 9, begs leave to report that it has examined the same and finds that the bill has been truly perfected and that the printed copies furnished the senators are correct. Respectfully submitted, Senator Rowden, Chairman.
Senator from the 14th District.
Mr. President, I would like to ask for unanimous consent to introduce a special guest.
Hearing no objection, please proceed.
To my right and to your left, if the body can recognize not only a good friend of mine, but police chief of the city of Ferguson, Mr. Jason Armstrong. If the body could welcome him with warm arms, I would highly appreciate it. Thank you, Mr. President.
Let's welcome Chief Armstrong to the Missouri Senate. Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of Senate bills for perfection on the informal calendar, and ask you to recognize the formal calendar, and I'd ask that you call the calendar.
Hearing no objection, the order of business will be Senate bills for perfection, formal calendar. The next bill up is Senate bills 153 and 97 with Senate committee substitute, the senator from the 15th district.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Bill 153 and 97 with Senate Committee Substitute be taken up for perfection.
You've heard the motion from the Senator of the 15th District. All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator, your bill is now before the body.
I move that Senate Committee Substitute be adopted. I have a Senate Substitute. I ask for a waiver of the reading, and it has been distributed.
Please send your Senate Substitute forward. Hearing no objection, a waiver of the reading shall be granted. Senator, would you move for the adoption of the substitute and then feel free to explain it?
Yeah, I would move that Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 153 and 97 be adopted. This is a compromise on the Wayfair piece of legislation. I think this is important for a number of reasons. One, right now we have the worst incentive that you would want. We're basically telling people to go make purchases, or you get a tax break if you make a purchase from a non-Missouri business. And so this would seek to fix that. We do that through the use tax. Any city or county that currently has a use tax would be able to collect this tax once it's implemented. The other provisions is we add three triggers to Senate Bill 509. At the end of Senate Bill 509, which does have, whenever revenues go up by $150 million, it would trigger another 0.1 cut. There's an earned income tax credit that's also tied to these triggers. It is non-refundable up to 20%. There's a cable franchise compromise that's tax that's been on there from the senator from Jackson. Let's see, in past versions, I did have sales tax caps. That is not in this version. That was removed. Also on the definition of, there's an exemption for everyone that's under $100,000 in taxable sales. In previous versions, we had gross sales, so that was a change from last year. If I can inquire the senator from the 28th,
Senator, for the benefit of the body, let's recap where we are. You have moved for the adoption of the Senate substitute to Senate committee substitute for Senate bills 153 and 97. You are seeking an inquiry from the senator of
28th.
The senator from Dallas, do you yield? She does. Proceed.
How's it going?
Good. Let's get this thing done.
I hope we can finally get this piece of legislation out of the chamber. I know you've been working on it for a long time, too. But it's so important for our brick and mortar businesses.
Absolutely. I mean, that is why we need to get this done. You're right. We incentivize them to go online, people to go online and shop instead of staying local.
That's right. I mean, if we could somehow reverse that,
it'd be great.
It would be great. But obviously, there's not a way to do that. And so creating that level playing field is something that makes sense. A lot of businesses already have Nexus in the state also. But in those cases, sometimes they're only paying the state portion, not the local.
Right.
So,
right.
You have anything else to add?
You know, I think we've got to a good place. You know, you and I were never very far apart. The body may not know that, but
right.
We weren't, were we?
Right. Well, I appreciate your work on this. And I just wanted you to have the opportunity to say anything you wanted to say.
You know, I just want to, you know, really just want to make it known that, again, that we were very close on our language. Of course, the cash operating fund is out. That was the one thing that was in
That's
my
right.
bill.
I had that in previous versions as
right.
well.
We had it slightly different, and now it's completely coming out.
Right.
So, other than that, I mean, I think you had some extra, I mean, you had the sales tax holiday, I think, in yours.
Correct.
And you had a few other things. I think you actually had more current language than I did. But I think you've put together a decent bill here, and you've worked on this a lot longer than I have, but I think it's time to get this done.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Further discussion on the adoption motion of the Senate substitute, the senator from Clay County, Missouri.
Thank you, Mr. President. May I inquire the senator from the 7th?
Senator from the 7th, you yield to an inquiry.
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Good afternoon, Senator.
Good afternoon.
So I just want to walk through a couple of the provisions in this bill, and I'll start by saying I appreciate all the work that the senator from the 15th has done on this issue. We've had countless conversations, and he's worked tirelessly to get it to this place. And I think we all agree that this is legislation that we need to pass. We are now one of the last states in the country to not pass a Wayfair bill, the only exception being Florida. And so at least we can say we beat Florida in this. But as was mentioned, Wayfair is important because it levels the playing field for our local businesses, our brick and mortar shops.
Absolutely.
Who have been hit really hard during the pandemic. And as people have turned to online shopping, you know, it's put them at an even greater disadvantage. So I think this is the right move for Missouri businesses. And I'm really happy that we're gonna get Wayfair passed hopefully this year.
I completely agree. This is something that I've been hearing from folks for years. Like you said, this is a disadvantage for our brick and mortar businesses. I mean, we're giving a tax incentive to not support our local businesses.
Right.
That's essentially what not passing this does. And I think it's even doubly important, having gone through or being in the midst of the pandemic, I think there's a lot of people who for the first time learned how to shop online, who learned how to use, you know, ordering things on your phone, jumping online and ordering. And so I think we're going to see a whole lot more of it, which is going to double the impact on our mom and pop brick and mortar stores.
Well, I'm sorry to say I developed a bit of an online shopping habit during the pandemic, but I will be happy to continue that after this passes, and hopefully more of those taxes will come back to our state.
Absolutely.
So glad that Wayfair isn't included. And I will say, I do regret the fact that we don't get...
If we could take our conversations to the side galleries or keep the volumes down to the minimum, the senators are having a really tough time facing the dais and hearing each other in debate. Senators, please proceed.
Thank you, and I'm sorry, Mr. President.
I was going to say, that can't be me. I'm not looking behind me. I'm looking at you. I do regret that we don't get the opportunity to vote on a clean wayfair bill. And I believe that a vast majority of our colleagues in this chamber would support a clean version of this bill. But that's not how this chamber works. I certainly don't get to set those terms. But it is unfortunate that I think that's where most people are on this and would like the opportunity to vote on a clean bill. But it's all part of the process. And I guess that, you know, the product before us, there's been a lot of work and a lot of, you know, very interested stakeholders who have been a part of this. And at the end of the day, no one gets everything that they want in this chamber.
Agreed. Yeah.
One thing I am happy to see included is the earned income tax credit. I don't know how familiar you are with this program, but this was actually Ronald Reagan's idea. And you won't hear me say very often that Ronald Reagan was right on a lot of policy issues, but on this, I think he got it right. And an earned income tax credit basically rewards work. And it's a tax benefit. It provides tax relief for the people who are in the lowest income categories and really need that sort of benefit. And it rewards their work. So I'm glad to see that there, after I think decades of this idea being passed around in these chambers, that we'll finally have the opportunity, hopefully, to pass a state EITC. I think that will make a difference in a lot of people's lives. People who are struggling, people who could use extra money to pay for groceries, to keep the lights on, and to hope for more opportunity.
You know, I think it's easy for us to sometimes forget just how many people in our state are working. They're working hard, but it's just not a high-paying job. You've got a family. You get down to the end of the month, and you know, they might check their bank account, and there's $100 left. There's $75 left, and they got to get through two more days. And how are we going to pay the groceries? And God forbid the car breaks down. So relief to those families that are working and doing everything they can, that relief can make a big difference in their life.
Well, and for, you know, so many families who are already sort of struggling to make ends meet, to have the additional burden of the pandemic.
Yes.
And people have lost jobs, people have had to drop out of the workforce because they needed to stay home with children who were learning virtually, perhaps. You know, this again incentivizes people to get back into the workforce, and it has a financial reward for that hard work. So I really believe that we're going to see a major impact in lifting families out of poverty, and this will be an important tool for those individuals.
Absolutely.
And their families.
Yeah.
And hopefully it will help them with their earning potential as well as they turn to education or training to enhance that employability. So that's a very good thing. The last thing I'm going to mention are the additional triggers triggers for additional tax cuts. And the reason I decided to inquire of you, we've had a lot of conversations offline about the future of Missouri. And we were both born here, lived here our whole lives. We love Missouri. And we certainly want it to be a great place for future Missourians to grow up and thrive. But I think we are concerned about some of the decisions that previous General Assemblies have made, and we're mindful of the decisions that we're making and how that may impact not only our, you know, future General Assemblies and members who are serving in the legislature, but also families who decide to live here or not. And so the reality is we have, or the legislatures before us have made the decision to cut taxes. And that's taken many, many forms over the last several years. And as a consequence of that, it's become more difficult to pay for services that a lot of Missourians depend on. I think in committee at one point you asked, you didn't say these words, but the question, the underlying question was basically, why can't we have nice things?
Yeah.
So many people come to us and say, tell us about the great work they're doing in this state and how funding could help them achieve even greater potential. And often, as we're the budget appropriators, we have to make hard choices about what gets funded. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that over the course of several years, the General Assembly has decided to cut taxes that benefit the wealthiest Missourians and corporations instead of taking that money and investing in Missourians. So I'm just curious if you had any thoughts on that.
I do. And Senator, when we look at these issues that we're dealing with today, first of all, I think it's criminal or nearly criminal what we've done to our infrastructure in this state, and that includes our roads and bridges. We sit right here in the middle, not just of the United States, but of the continent. We should be a transportation distribution hub. And our lack of investment has put us behind. We're not using our natural location and resources to their full advantage. But there's more to infrastructure than just roads and bridges. There's the infrastructure of our higher education institutions. So we haven't increased the gas tax since 1996. We haven't given higher education a raise since 1999. When we hear about tax cuts over and over and over in this building, they're not really tax cuts for the families that are out there. Because if you have a kid that's going to college, great, you got your taxes cut. Maybe it took $50 off your taxes. But when we haven't invested in higher education in 22 years, now all of a sudden we're putting the entire weight of funding those institutions on the shoulders of the families and the students themselves. And too many families can't afford higher education in this state. We are losing Missouri residents to the state of Arkansas. Because Arkansas is investing in higher education, Arkansas is allowing in-state tuition for Missouri students and giving better scholarships. We're losing a generation of Missourians because we won't invest. This isn't sustainable. And if Missourians are listening right now, We all love a tax cut. Tax cuts are great. They make us feel good. We're a low tax state. We're always going to be a low tax state. And so when the majority party can say we passed the tax cut, everyone's happy. But this is what I want to ask the average Missouri family. When is the last time you got a tax bill from the state of Missouri, opened it up, and thought, boy, that's a lot lower than I thought it was going to be? You haven't done that. That hasn't happened. because the tax cuts that have been passed here were never meant for you. They were never meant for the average family in Missouri. They're meant for the wealthiest of Missourians. These tax cuts aren't helping middle and lower class working families. They're hurting them because now those families can't afford to send their kids to college. And even if they can figure out how to send their kids to college, the car is going to get busted up because we can't afford to fix our roads. We have to, we love tax cuts, but we got to have money to provide services. So look at your tax bill. Are you shocked at how low it is? If not, then ask your representatives, your senators, who are these tax cuts for? Because it hasn't been for me.
I couldn't agree more. There was a laugh behind us. He was shocked to hear me say that. But often it's promised that tax cuts will spur enough economic activity to pay for themselves and create even greater growth. But that has not been the case. We've never seen that. And instead, we see cuts to our revenue that make it harder and harder to fulfill the promises and the obligations that our state has made over the last several years. So I just want to bring awareness to that. As you know, this year is unique in that it seems like we'll have additional money coming from the federal government, and I have no doubt that stimulus will help us recover more quickly and stronger than if it didn't exist. It's going to be easier,
thankfully,
to budget this year, thankfully. But just as we have struggled making difficult choices, I also am aware that future legislatures are going to have similar struggles because of the decision to cut taxes.
Senator, this is my fifth year in this building, and this year is different because, thankfully, the federal government is bailing us out. But in the previous 4 years I've been here, three of which I served on the Budget Committee in the House, different groups would come to us, whether it's your local community college, your local high school, your local hospital, and say, we need $1 million for this project that can really help our community. We need $150,000 for this. We need, you know, $10 million for this. And the answer that they get from the General Assembly is, we would really like to help, but it's just a tough budget year this year. Well, if every year is a tough budget year, even when the economy is doing well, then we got to start looking at ourselves. This state could be great. We could do great things in the state of Missouri if only we would invest in our people, invest in our communities. We don't have to have the best and nicest of everything, but we have to have good roads.
Well, and you know, I'm sure you've met with a number of groups that talk about attracting businesses, attracting families to Missouri. And I have never met a family that said to me, we decided to move to Missouri because it has the potential, you know, the income tax rate has the potential of dropping to 4.8%. I've never heard that. And instead, we hear from our businesses that they're looking for workers. They're looking for a skilled workforce. And the way that we achieve that is by investing in people. And that's much more difficult to do when we're really eroding our tax revenue. So I am glad, like I said, I'm glad that there's the chance to pass Wayfair and to allow us to help our businesses that have had a rough year. I'm grateful that the EITC is included because I do think it will be impactful for the people who need it. But it is a really difficult decision because the tax cuts are included, and I really fear for the implications that that will have on our state in the future.
But implications that it will have on our state long after we're gone from this chamber. You know, the people that, sit at my desk and your desk 10 years from now are still gonna have to be going to our community colleges who are saying, we need this new equipment to help train more nurses so that we can get them into rural Missouri, are gonna have to say, well, it's a tough budget year because of what the 101st General Assembly did. We have to break this cycle. We have to break it.
Well, I appreciate the inquiry. The last thing I will say, and I'm holding the floor a little longer than I intended because I suspect, I think there's an amendment that's gone out, and maybe that senator isn't in the chamber right now, and I know she'd like to offer her amendment. But so the last thing I'll say, there is some ambiguity that in the latest federal stimulus that I think got passed today, there's language that states any state that decides to cut taxes, that state may be in jeopardy of having those federal funds come to them, and they may have to repay some amount. So there's a lot of uncertainty around that, and I would hate to see Missouri in the position where we pass this legislation and then we are out of compliance with the latest federal stimulus that passed, and we have to return billions of dollars. It's just, that seems like an impossibility. There is no feasible way to do that. And I'm not saying that will happen. I'm saying I think there are still a lot of questions that can't be answered at this point.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but that was the case with the last stimulus, the CARES Act, correct?
That states couldn't cut taxes or they'd be penalized?
Perhaps not. Maybe it's the latest that just got passed today.
So I know there was some language related to trying to prevent states from using the federal stimulus to supplant any lost revenue through tax cuts. But I don't think we have a clear idea of what those rules and what the exact language included looked like. So we'll see, and hopefully we won't make a mistake that will be very costly in the
future.
Pretty
scary proposition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to let you go, but I appreciate the inquiry and your insight on this.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion on the adoption motion, the senator from Greene County, Missouri.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have an amendment.
Please,
it has been distributed. I would ask for a waiver of the reading and move for its adoption.
Please send your amendment forward. Hearing no objection, a waiver of the reading shall be granted. You've moved for its adoption. Feel free to explain your amendment, Senator.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. This is very simple. This reestablishes a fund called the Cash Operating Expense Fund. It does not then put the parameters that were previously in the substitute back in. This very simply, it's a one-page amendment. This very simply just puts the fund back in place so that the dollars that are associated with this online remittance of sales tax can go into one place. It can still be spent as general revenue, but we will be able to, as a body, quantify how much money we are actually bringing in under this proposal. I'm more than happy to answer any questions, Mr. President.
The senator from Greene County has moved for the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 1 to the Senate Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute to Senate Bills 1, 5, 3, and 97. Does any senator desire to be heard? Senator from the 15th District.
Do you inquire the senator from Greene?
Senator from Greene, do you yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
So, I guess you explained this already, but just make the body clear. This is different than what
was... It's different. Right. It's different, but it's using the same cash operating expense title for the fund. Like I said in the description, what I wanted this body and future bodies to be able to quantify is what we actually bring in as a state. My fear is that if we don't have a mechanism for these dollars to be deposited into and they just go into general revenue, Senator, or at least it will be significantly harder to know exactly what we're bringing in under this Wayfair proposal.
I think over time it might be difficult to quantify just because we collect use tax today.
Correct.
And so I think in the first year it would be easy because we could say, all right, we haven't collected any use tax from this particular business. As time goes on, it kind of diminishes the quality of
clarity.
Sure. Just because they'll, you know, is this a new business or an old business? Would they be doing it before or after, you know, like 5 years from now? But yeah, I'm fine with it.
Thank you, Senator.
Further discussion on the adoption of the amendment offered by the senator from Greene County. Hearing none, Senator, you are recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I close.
Senator from Greene County renews his motion that Senate Amendment Number 1 to the Senate Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute to Senate Bills 1, 5, 3, and 97 be adopted. All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have adopted the Senate Amendment. We are back on the adoption motion of the Senate Substitute as amended offered by the Senator from the 15th District. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? The senator from the 24th District.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have an amendment.
Please send your amendment forward.
It has not been distributed, but it's getting ready to be distributed as we speak. It's actually relatively short, so it could be read.
Madam Secretary, please read the amendment.
Senate Amendment Number 2, offered by Senator Shoup, amend Senate Substitute, Senate Committee Substitute, Senate Bill Numbers 153 and 97, page 65, section B, line 7, by inserting after all of said line, comma, the following, quote, section C, period, the repeal and reenactment of section 67.2677 shall become effective August 28th, 2023, period, end quote, and further amend the title accordingly.
Senator, would you care to move for the adoption of the amendment and then feel free to explain it any further if needed?
Thank you, Mr. President. I move for the adoption of the amendment. The amendment is simply ensuring or putting into place the date change that is required in order to put the franchise fee into place in that sort of stair-step process that is included in this piece of legislation. So this just allows that new franchise agreement that starts on page, I think, 3. Yes, starts on page 3, puts a beginning effective date of August 28th, 2023. That's it. It was part of the agreement. And with that, Mr. President, I will take any questions. Otherwise, I renew my motion.
The senator from the 24th has moved for the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 2 to Senate Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bills 153 and 97. Does any senator desire to be heard? The senator from the 8th District.
Thank you, Mr. President. To inquire of the senator from St. Louis.
Senator from the 24th is what you're looking for, Senator?
That is.
Yes, I am from St. Louis, and I will take your inquiry.
Senator, the senator from the Kansas City area region
somewhere out west. Oh, do Kansas you yield? City, Missouri?
Do you yield, Senator?
I do.
She does. Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator, how are you? I want to thank you. I think this amendment's good. I just want to make sure I understand it. So this is redefining and adding definitions of set-top boxes and that kind of stuff, and it's saying that those these are not included in gross revenues. And rather this is taking effect next August if this becomes law, it's just saying it'll be after August 28th, 2023, so it's delaying it 2 years.
Yes, exactly right.
And the significance is that set-top box would be an immediate reduction because instead of a $100 a month bill, you might have an $88 a month bill that's now taxed.
Right.
And that's kind of the difference. So I think this is a great idea. I've heard from several cities and several senators their concerns about this. And so this gets it done. I want to thank you for that.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Further discussion on the adoption motion, the senator from the 15th.
I support the amendment. Thanks.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Senator from the 24th, you are recognized to close.
Mr. President, we are having quite a bipartisan day since I've walked into the chamber. With that, I close.
The senator from the 24th District renews her motion that Senate Amendment Number 2 to Senate Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute Senate Bills 153 and 97 be adopted. All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have adopted Senate Amendment Number 2. We are back on the Senate Substitute Adoption Motion as amended. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? The senator from Green.
Thank you, Mr. President. Could I inquire of the senator from Clay?
Senator from Clay County seems to be in a position. Do you yield to an inquiry from your colleague of Green?
I yield.
She does. Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Senator. So I am in no way right now going to try to derail anything. Okay, so there's the disclaimer up front. Okay. What I want to
which
do
which I think is a helpful disclaimer. We should start every inquiry that way. Right.
So what I want to do right now, and there are plenty of people I think that have already looked into this, and if it's not a thing, then it's not a thing and we can move on and not worry about it. But the thing that I'm talking about is, so I've got a copy of the American Rescue Plan Act of 2021.
That is hot off the presses.
642 right? pages of it.
Okay.
Okay. So on page 593, subsection A, is where the language that you spoke about earlier dealing with a tax cut implementation and then whether or not the state would be receiving these federal funds, this next round of COVID relief that was just passed.
Right.
And I know a lot of people have already looked into this, but the only question I want to raise right now is, are we positive right now with the additional three triggers and the 509 tax cuts that we do not put somewhere close to $5 billion for this state in some sort of limbo? Because I do not want to do that. And the only thing that causes me a little bit of pause here is the language that's used in subsection A here that says, a state or territory shall not use the funds provided under this section or transferred pursuant to section 603(c)(4) to either directly or indirectly offset a reduction in the net tax revenue of such state or territory resulting in a change in law, blah, 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 all that stuff. So My only concern is there any ambiguity in this language that would put the possibility of $5 billion that this state is utilizing or will utilize, is there any ambiguity here that causes any member in this body just a little bit of pause? And if there is there an easy solution, which I might have one, to relieve any sort of possibility that we're in some sort of limbo on this almost $5 billion?
So I will say that
I don't know if there was a question in there or not, but I appreciate you standing for this inquiry.
I will say, after hearing you read that, I paused. I have reason to pause. But more than that, we know that the Treasury will promulgate rules about what that language means. And I think without knowing or being able to see into the future what the Treasury is going to determine applies here, I think there is the possibility that that money could end up in limbo, as you said.
Okay, so a couple of things. Also in this 600 and whatever page document, it is stipulated that the states will have until end of calendar year 2024 to spend the money that's sent to them. We're going to have, I think we're going to have the first half of this money deposited in our treasury in the first 60 days. And then it's outlined that a year from that date, we will have the second half. Okay, so we're talking north of $2 billion, Mr. Appropriations Chairman, coming in the next couple of months. And then we're going to have a year. Now, this is, and this, again, Senator, this is aside from all the money that's going to be going to the local jurisdictions,
right,
our hospitals, our schools directly from the feds. So my question is, would this body, and I am 100% open to just a conversation here, but would this body feel better about moving forward if we stipulated that the new three triggers in the 509 that are in this Wayfair bill now, that the first trigger would not be hit until January of 2025. Now, everybody knows we've got three triggers left on the 509 tax cuts that are in place currently. All signs point to us hitting one of those triggers this fiscal year. Most likely, we hit another one in FY23. So there's the possibility that we're okay and we don't get into this next round of tax cuts prior to the end of calendar year 2024. I'm just posing the question, do we want a little insurance here to build that framework out? And I'm open. I do not have an amendment drafted to do that. I just thought maybe it's worth a quick conversation with a few people.
I think that is a very reasonable change, but so I would be support. I'll just say, speaking for myself, I would be supportive of something like that and much more comfortable if we included it.
Okay. Thank you, Senator. Madam President.
Senator from Green.
Thank you, Madam President. You're doing a bang up job up there. Could I inquire of the Senator from the 15th?
Senator 15th, do you, whatever the word is, do you yield? Couldn't think of the word.
I yield, yes.
He does. Proceed.
Sometimes it's hard to do the job up there when you have someone talking in your ear all the time.
I know. It's been happening a lot lately.
Right. So Senator, I'm sure you heard the quick dialogue there. Like I said, I don't know that it's an issue. I would hate for us to get in some sort of ambiguous situation on down the road when I think we could clarify this pretty quickly, but
there's a couple things. I think they're looking at it right. There's some people looking into it right now. I don't know how much of an issue it is or not. If it is a real issue, I would want to fix it. Of course, we might not know whether or not it's a real issue.
You're right.
Because certainly with the current triggers, it might not happen anyways. It's
right.
Probably unlikely to be an issue.
Right.
But we wouldn't know for sure until it happened. So hopefully we can get some more information real quickly and figure it out.
Well, I don't think just a simple next trigger on these three that are in this version of the Wayfair bill happening calendar year 2025 at the earliest. I don't think that puts off.
It probably wouldn't. It would probably happen under its normal timetable anyways.
Right.
Yeah.
I would be
open to that.
Okay.
Partly because I don't think it'll have any impact.
Yeah, and I don't know that it will. I'm trying to be a little bit like the senator from Jefferson and try to sell an insurance policy for the state, you know, that might be worth about $5 billion. It could cost us, you know, all of, you know, maybe 15 minutes out here.
Right.
Seems like a yep. decent investment. I don't know.
Sure.
I don't sell insurance. Generally hate them, but, you know.
Well, maybe when you finish here, you can start selling insurance.
Senator, thank you.
All right. Have you this drafted already? Or?
I don't have it drafted. I might inquire the Senator from the 23rd, see if he has any discussion he wants to have on taxes.
And I'll go over there and see what they figure out.
All right. Thank you, Senator. Madam President.
Senator from Green.
Thank you, Madam President. Could I inquire the Senator from the 2nd?
Senator from the 2nd, do you yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Madam President, thank you, Senator.
Oh, you're very welcome. You're very welcome. Well, we're trying to find it. Do you know what page of this?
I'm on page 593.
Page 593. Is this something that we didn't, we had to pass in order to find out what was in it?
I don't know. I mean, I assume everyone that voted on this read all 640-some pages
I bet they did.
642. That I've been like perusing.
I bet they did, just like the senator from Cape used to. Read every word.
That's right.
Highlight pens.
That's right.
Stickers in the margin.
That's right.
So we'll find that.
Because you get my point, right? I just don't want to put us in some sort of no man's land on do we have to come back and do something, clarify all this later when maybe we could have just done it right now.
Yeah. You know, I really think that you know, if Congress purports to have done this, and I haven't read the text of it, I think we are on some very shaky grounds regarding the principles of federalism. I cannot imagine there won't be numerous state lawsuits. I can't imagine our own Attorney General won't go right to court to fight this. So it bothers me the idea of acquiescing to what the Charles Schumer and Nancy Pelosi decided to do, write our own tax policy based on really what I think is illegal, unconstitutional overreach on the part of the federal government. So I'm not sure I want to put off these additional 509 triggers for that reason. But if that were the case, that it was able to stand, wouldn't we have the same problem with a brand new tax credit in the form of the earned income tax credit? And shouldn't we also, because right now I believe the EITC feature of this bill takes effect in 2023, I forget what day, right? It's page 14 to 16 is the EITC part of this. So beginning in the 2023 calendar year. So I think if you offer that amendment, I think we'll probably also want to delay this new, because a tax credit, it's not a tax cut, it's even more aggressive than a tax cut. A tax credit is more valuable than a tax cut. I don't want to do either one. I think that if the Biden administration presumes to violate the rule of law by saying we either get to micromanage your tax policy in Missouri or we'll withhold these funds that are otherwise available to all states, I think that's a violation of separation of powers. I think it's a violation of federalism. I think it's a violation of equal protection under law if Illinois, which isn't likely to cut taxes anytime soon, gets these CARES Part 5 funds, and we in Missouri don't. So I think we'd be on good standing.
Is it similar, Senator, to the strings that are attached to our highway funding with speed limits and seatbelt laws?
Yeah, It's similar, but I think it's different in this sense that that in the case of the highway, the seatbelt laws, the high speed limits, they dangled the carrot. And I admit, I think all 50 states, or maybe 49, I think there might have been a state or two that resisted that incentive to pass seatbelt laws or what have you. I think similarly, DUI laws, the federal government provided funding that was contingent on DUI laws. I think there's a difference between that and saying, you know, states, if you want to take advantage of this, you have to do this. A lot of things are like that. Medicaid is kind of like that in a lot of ways. But to appropriate the funds that we're all entitled to and then condition it on what is in our laws, I think this is different. I think it is qualitatively different. Yeah. So I don't know, but I think if we're doing this regarding the the so-called 509 tax cuts, I think absolutely we're going to have to do it with the earned income tax credit or risk forfeiting those same federal CARES or COVID relief funds. So those are just my thoughts.
Okay. All right. Senator, I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam President.
He's done.
We're back on the adoption motion.
We are back on the adoption motion.
The senator from the 15th.
On the Senate substitute.
Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion?
Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion?
Hearing none.
Senator from the 15th.
You are recognized
to close. So what am I going to do here?
Do we need to back it up?
Do we need to back it up?
Senator for the 15th, you're recognized to close. Senator for the 15th renews his motion that the Senate substitute as amended be adopted for Senate committee substitute to Senate bill number 153 and 97. All those in favor of that opinion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have adopted the Senate substitute. Senator from the 15th.
Thank you, Mr. President. I now move that Senate substitute for Senate committee substitute for Senate Bill 153 and 97 be declared perfected, ordered, and printed.
You've heard the motion from the Senator of the 15th District. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Hearing none, Senator, you are recognized to close.
I close.
Senator from the 15th District renews his motion that the Senate substitute for Senate committee substitute for Senate bills number 153 and 97 be declared perfected and ordered printed. All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have perfected and ordered printed the Senate substitute for Senate committee substitute for Senate bills 153 and 97. Senator from the 14th.
Mr. President, I'd like to ask for a point of personal privilege.
Senator from the 14th District has requested a moment of personal privilege. Senator, please proceed.
Mr. President, I rise today to bring awareness to an important issue. Now, there's been no shortage of conversations about, Mr. President, can I get a little order?
If you could take your conversations to the side gallery or keep them to a minimum so we can hear the senator from the 14th point of personal privilege. Senator, I apologize. Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I rise today to bring awareness to an important issue. There has been no shortage of conversations about guns in this building, in this state, and throughout this country. Well, here we are again, Mr. President. Last week,
Rosie McCulley and her two children were shot and killed by her husband, a man with a documented history of violence. This woman had done everything within her power to protect herself from this man. They had recently for a divorce. She alerted authorities, got a restraining order, but her and her two children are no longer with us today because of a gun in the hands of the wrong person. Mr. President, we hear about bills being filed in this building to allow guns on public transportation and college campuses. We've heard about countless stories about children being killed by gunfire. How many more lives do we have to lose before we understand that we're doing this wrong? I ask my colleagues, how many more will it take? And I hope that the body could join me today in a moment of silence in honor of the lives of Ms. McCulley and her children. Thank you, Mr. President, for this moment of personal privilege.
Would the Missouri Senate please rise for a moment of personal privilege, for a moment of silence? Thank you, Senator. Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of reports of standing committees. And I ask to recognize me for a report.
Hearing no objection, the order of business will report reports of standing committees. Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics has a report.
Please send your report forward. Madam Secretary, please read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics, to which was referred Senate Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 4, begs leave to report that it has examined the same and finds that the bill has been truly perfected and that the printed copies furnished the senators are correct. Respectfully submitted, Senator Rowden, Chairman.
Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of announcements.
Hearing no objection, the order of business is announcements. Announcements? Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. No further business coming before the body. I move that the Senate stand adjourned under the rules.
You've heard the motion from the Senator of Boone County.
Mr. President.
Senator from Boone.
Mr. President, may I inquire of you?
State your inquiry.
Mr. President, for the benefit of the body, I'm going to make a recess motion for the purpose of getting the fiscal notes in order. We will come back later on tonight to refer the bills that we heard today. There will be no other formal business. Nobody will be needed when we come back. We'll just wait around until the fiscal notes are ready. And then at that point, we'll make an adjournment motion. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator, could you make a recess? We're on our business of announcements. Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. No further business coming before the body. I move that the Senate stand in recess until 4:30 p.m. this day.
You've heard the motion from the Senator of Boone County. All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The Senate shall stand in recess until 4:30 p.m. this day.